let me just be clear about this. The West Virginia case is a question in West Virginia demanding to know how far the EPA can go in regulating greenhouse gas emissions from coal-fired and gas-fired power plants under the Clean Air Act. So massive ramifications would threaten to overturn what is known as the Chevron doctrine, which would render most of the government as we know it, all this regulation, unconstitutional. The New York Times wrote this: several of the parties to the West Virginia case go beyond the major questions doctrine to argue in favor of what has become known as the non-delegation doctrine. According to this way of thinking, Congress is barred by the Constitution from delegating powers that could be construed as legislative to the executive branch. Non-delegation doctrine hasn't been used since 1935, about the time that FDR threatened to pack the Supreme Court with activist judges. The whole model of the New Deal state is that Congress passes laws that delegate to administrative agencies sweeping regulatory power to address the public health and welfare of the American people. This would shut it all down. Workplace safety, environmental protection, overtime pay, vaccination, things that have never been debated in front of Congress would now need to do that. Professor William Wagner is still here with me. Professor, I believe that if we're going to return to a constitutional government as written, this is what's going to happen. And this is a far bigger case than the Dobbs case from Mississippi that overturned Roe v. Wade, because this affects every single person in America. Yes or no?
If the court returns to the non-delegation doctrine, and let me talk about that for just a second. At one time in this country, the Supreme Court had looked at the Constitution and they said, well, wait a minute, these bureaucrats here, nobody elects them. And the Constitution says that, and I'm going to quote here, all legislative power, not some, all legislative power. The legislative power is, you know, rests with the Congress. It doesn't rest with the EPA. And you get these administrative agencies like the EPA that not only make a rule that has the force of law, they then within the same agency, no separation of powers, have an enforcement mechanism that goes and enforces that law against a person or a business. And then within that same agency, very often they have an adjudicary, just like a judge, judicary function. So they've got all three of the things that we normally have separation of powers on and political accountability to the people through elections. And none of that occurs in our lives. We are regulated by all this alphabet soup of many, many different administrative agencies out there, and we're subject to enforcement of these rules that they make, and then we're subject to an adjudication and punishment. And we saw, you know, how it got out of control during the vaccine
mandates,
where government was mandating things and shutting down businesses and doing all this stuff without any.
The Department of Health and Human Services and OSHA or whoever imposing a nationwide eviction moratorium. Who the hell are these agencies to tell landlords when they can and cannot collect rent?
Well, that's exactly what the court was talking about when they had the non-delegation doctrine in place, which was like, hey, let's have the people that actually are accountable to the citizens make the laws again. And then they can decide in the next election whether or not that policy was right. What these politicians do now is if you call them up and say, hey, look what this EPA guy is doing to my business, and he's not following any statute or anything, the guy that you call or the woman that you call in Congress is going to say, well, hey, that's out of my hands. I'm sorry. Somebody in the agency did that. Well, you know, somebody in the Senate and the Congress, you know, passed a law that gave some authority, that delegated authority to these administrative agencies to make this law. Well, what is at issue now before the court, the way you're describing it, is that maybe we need to reconsider whether or not Congress has the authority to delegate their legislative power to somebody that doesn't have to face the people in an election. And so that is huge.
So here's, I'm going to go ahead and make a prediction. That's what's happened here. I'm going to go ahead and read the tea leaves. They're going to go back to the non-delegation doctrine, and that's why this case has been held. That's why they've allowed the explosions to go on with the release of the draft opinion a few weeks ago, and with everything with Roe v. Wade. That wasn't as earth-shattering as going back. And again, the court in Roe v. Wade cited all of this time prior to 1973 that abortion was illegal, that this wasn't the case, that it wasn't some, you know, pushed nationally for abortion to be legal at that time until just before 1973 when that push came along. This would also cite the mistakes made since 1935 when the court was threatened by FDR. This would be earth-shattering. It would change the trajectory on everything in this country. And, William, I'm going to go ahead and predict that is what has happened here. They have returned to the non-delegation doctrine. I believe that that's what's happened, and that's why this case has been held. I'll give you the last word.
Well, the court, if it does that, will be returning the republic to a constitutional republic governed by constitutional principles. I will tell you, the other side will challenge it, saying, hey, we're so big now that we, you know, Congress can't do it all. Well, then maybe we're too big, and maybe some of the power needs to be returned to the states. And you know, the key is, will the people be the ones that are able to hold accountable the policymakers, or will some court or some unelected bureaucrat in an administrative agency be making the laws, enforcing the laws, and then adjudicating and putting people out of business because they hold some authority that the Constitution never said they held in the first place?
That's exactly right. Authority they never had in the first place. Professor, thank you for sorting that out with me. It's coming. I believe that we have. It always makes you wonder when they're saying, hey, look at this, look at this. Boom, something bigger is coming down. And I think that I think I've unlocked the puzzle here today with you. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I think that's what's happened here.
Times, and thank you for getting the word out and helping people understand it.
Professor, I really appreciate your help as well. Professor William Wagner, everybody. I'll take a quick break here on the Steve Gerber Show and be right back.
Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
Business owners know there's no substitute for experience. In Michigan, that means the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. The Michigan Chamber is always working to protect, connect, and strengthen Michigan companies. The Michigan Chamber is on the front lines every day, getting Michigan back to work. That's never been more important than it is today. The Michigan Chamber is dedicated to Michigan and the men and women that make it work here every single day. The time is now for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber and how to become a member, visit michamber.com.
This is the Steve Gruber Show, the fearless pursuit of truth.
The Steve Gruber Show is the fastest growing talk show in America, so thank you. Without you, none of this would be possible. The relentless pursuit of truth, common sense, and honest answers to the most important questions of the day isn't easy, but it's critical to our future. Find out more. SteveGruber.com.